Hi there, Alphonse here, and coming up next, we're going to be talking to Lieutenant Colonel retired Robert Bowman. He's a progressive populist candidate for Congress, a combat veteran, a rocket scientist, a businessman, a college professor, a fighter pilot, executive in both government and industry, a family man with 7 children and 21 grandchildren. He's a bishop and a peace activist. How are you doing, Bob?
Very good. Thank you, Alphonse.
So, Bob, you've been talking out, and I heard your interview with Alex Jones about 9/11. See, I got it right. 9/11. And what in the world made you come out and talk about it like you've been doing?
Well, first of all, I'm not really a politician. I'm a lot of other things, but a politician I'm not. And I started speaking out on 9/11 and the fishy stuff and the unbelievability of the government's official conspiracy theory, almost as soon as it happened. And I've been doing it ever since, and I'm not going to change just because I'm running for Congress.
So you don't think it's a good idea to talk about this if you're running for Congress?
Most people don't think it is, but one of the reasons I'm running for Congress is to legitimize and mainstream the 9/11 truth movement.
Oh, great. And that's what we need, no doubt about it. Telling the truth is bad for politics, I guess, according to some people.
Yeah, that's right. And that's why I'm not a politician, I guess, but I do want to go to Congress with a lot of other new folks, kick out the professional politicians, and have a citizens' Congress that will serve the interests of the American people for a change instead of the multinational corporations.
That'd be a refreshing change, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Once we can restore power to the people, I'll be very happy to go back to being a part-time bishop, a part-time rocket scientist, and a full-time troublemaker.
So you're making trouble for some of the people in the government when you're accusing them of doing something like a false flag operation. What did you do over your career in the military?
Well, I was an instructor pilot in the B-25 and later the T-33. I was the project officer on the nuclear-powered B-70, which, of course, never flew, and flew 101 combat missions in Vietnam, was a professor at the Air Force Institute of Technology and at the Command and Staff College and the Air War College, and I was scientific advisor to Europe, Africa, the Middle East, and Southern Asia, and directed all the Star Wars programs under Presidents Ford and Carter.
Is that right? Star Wars, huh? That never really did get off the ground. It wasn't good science, was it?
Well, it was worse military strategy. Mm-hmm. You see, back in 1977, while I was directing all the Star Wars programs, I told our government that it would probably never be an effective defense. It would probably never have any defensive capability whatsoever because of its vulnerability. Mm-hmm. But it had obvious, awesome offensive capabilities. And what I proposed at that time in 1977 was a freeze on this new Star Wars technology, as well as on intercontinental ballistic missile technology.
Mm-hmm.
And I, in that secret report to the government, I used the term Star Wars. And that was 6 years before Reagan's infamous Star Wars speech in 1983 when he pretended to invent the whole thing.
Well, sure. If you can take credit for something and get away with it, that's a political coup, I guess.
Yeah.
So it was secret for a long time, naturally.
It was.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was probably something worth looking at.
Oh, The technology was very interesting, and we had to understand the technology, understand what was possible and what wasn't possible, to make sure that there was no possibility of technological surprise by the Soviet Union, which of course existed at that time, and so that we had countermeasures ready in case the Soviets tried to do something like this. But we always came up with the answer that these weapons were totally useless to an innocent party trying to defend himself. They were only useful to an aggressor with the element of surprise on his side.
Mm.
And, of course, that was not our view of the United States.
Well, that's good. I think the view may have changed recently. What do you think?
Sure looks that way, unfortunately. But there are still people in the military who have the old view that peace is our profession. I know at least a couple of times, to my direct knowledge, once under Nixon and once under Reagan, the military chain of command in the White House actually took the button out of the president's hands. I mean, of course, there is no button, really, but the order has to be passed down through the military, and they decided that if an order to nuke the Russians came off the wall, it wasn't going to happen.
Well, that's good. I guess that's a check and balance, especially when you're talking about something as serious as blowing up, ruining the whole world.
And there, even right now, to this day, there are general officers on active duty who, if an order comes to attack Iran without provocation, they will resign. As a matter of fact, it's my hope that some of these officers, instead of just quietly resigning, will exercise their authority under the Nuremberg principles and arrest Bush and Cheney.
Amen to that.
For giving such an order.
Amen to that. That's what my perception of what the military should be about. I don't know if it will be when duty calls, but that's,
you know,
what
we have an honored profession of the military being subservient to the civilian authority, and that's as it should be. But it only goes so far, because our oath as a military officer is to defend and protect the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and that includes a renegade president.
Good deal.
And the Nuremberg principles states quite clearly that a military officer not only has the right, but the duty to refuse an illegal order.
Good. Good. Now, they teach that, you know, during officers' indoctrination into the service when they're in, I don't know if it's not basic training, but advanced, what's it called, officers' training school.
Right.
Is that not correct?
They do indeed.
Teach all
it's
about
it? It's taught at a number of levels.
Good. I hope they abide by that oath and their training at all times. I would imagine most probably would. What do you think? Do you think there's enough good people in there that will follow the rules?
Well, I know there are a lot of good people in the military, the vast majority of them. I also know that when you start having firings and purges of high-ranking officers that won't follow orders, usually you can find somebody that will follow those orders. And that's how we got ourselves into Iraq. But I think there are more general officers now who have wised up to the fact that they're being suckered into illegal wars, and hopefully it's not going to happen so easily the next time.
Let's hope so. But getting back to 9-1-1, and what was the first thing that that really got you going? What made you suspicious? The first thing that made you suspicious about...
Well, the first thing that made me suspicious was when, in the newspapers on the morning of September 12th, our government... apparently had the names and photographs of these 19 supposed hijackers. And I thought that was a little ridiculous that, you know, they didn't know there was any plot whatsoever and bumbled around, couldn't get the aircraft up to intercept those airliners, and yet all of a sudden they know exactly who was behind it and who was involved. And
after one day's investigation,
the second thing I think that was ridiculous was say that the aircraft and all of the passengers that hit the Twin Towers had evaporated from the intense heat, burn up the aluminum in the aircraft and all the rest of it, yet Muhammad Atta's passport was found on the street below intact.
Yeah, what are the odds of that? Almost impossible.
And why would he carry a passport on a suicide mission?
Well, where would he carry it? I mean, it would be like you wouldn't have it stuck to your forehead or something, would you? So how'd it get out of his pocket and get through a fireball? And it's just crazy. It's impossible.
Yeah.
It's obviously, you know, the odds, it's a lie. Let's face it.
So anyway, I certainly feel that there's enough there to warrant a really independent investigation.
Sure.
I don't know what really happened on 9/11. I don't even know who really planned it. I don't know if our government merely let it happen when they got word of it and used it as an excuse to invade Iraq, or whether there were really no Arab hijackers and government was behind the whole thing. I don't know.
I don't see any evidence of any Arab hijackers.
There's no evidence of anything. There's no evidence that there were hijackers. My position is, if the government isn't hiding anything, why are they hiding everything? Why are they hiding all the videotapes and the audio tapes and all the forensic evidence?
Well,
why don't they come clean?
They're citing national security, but I think that, well, and they may be right about that. I mean, if the government did participate in a false flag operation, it would be vital to national security not to let anybody know about it, I guess.
Right, but if it happened the way they said it happened,
yes,
with 19 Arab hijackers, then there's no national security issue involved.
No, I guess you could release the Pentagon videos. You could.
That's right.
You could just tell the truth, and the truth would, you know, would speak for itself, and everything would be fine. But
yeah,
we're getting everything but that. We're getting things that are redacted and hidden, and the videos. I'd love to see the videos of that plane hitting the Pentagon, because the one they did give us. Shows nothing but a vapor trail or something. Can't tell what it is.
Yeah.
We see a white explosion coming out. White. It's white. That doesn't look like hydrocarbons to me. It looks like high energy explosive. And then there were witnesses that military professionals that say they smelled cordite, which is what you smell after you blow off a real high energy bomb. But what bothered me was the fact that none of the planes seemed to be intercepted.
Absolutely. And as an old interceptor pilot, that got me too. I know the drill. I know how long it takes. And the interceptor pilots, I don't believe were at fault. Some people in the 9/11 truth movement say they should have been flying faster, but when you take into account takeoff time and time to climb and turn around and all of that, the fact that there's no correlation between the average speed and the max speed of those aircraft doesn't really mean much. What is important is the fact that these airplanes weren't told to take off until 20 or 30 minutes after they should have been told.
Right.
But there was mass confusion that morning because of the exercises simulating exactly what happened. Hijacked airliners flying into high-value buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And these exercises going on that very morning, and supposedly personally directed by Dick Cheney, these exercises caused great confusion in the FAA, the air traffic controllers, and also at NORAD. And these people have been quoted as saying, is this for real or is it part of the exercise? And so that's one of the reasons why so very much time went by without planes being scrambled. The other part of it is that on the 1st of June of 2001, the Pentagon changed the rules. And whereas before, any time the FAA saw a plane go off track or lose radio communications or the transponder went out, any of those three things, automatically interceptors were scrambled.
Mm-hmm.
But on June 1st, they changed the rules to say that any intercept has to have the personal approval of the Secretary of Defense.
What for? When would you decide not to? When would you decide not to respond?
On September 11th, they decided not to.
But under what circumstances would you say that... When would the decider decide not to scramble? It doesn't make any sense. Because there is no situation where you would not scramble. Because there is none. There's no reason for that.
There was one. It was September 11th because they didn't want those airplanes to be intercepted.
Right. So that, yes, and that looks to me like one heck of a smoking gun. The order was issued by an S.A. Fry, Vice Admiral S.A. Fry, on June 1, 2001, and that looks like a real smoking gun there. I don't believe that the 911 Commission asked one question about it either. And it doesn't make any sense to put another link in the chain of command because you can pre-make the decision every time there's a plane off course, transponder off, it's hijacked, or any of the air emergency things. You want to get a plane up there so you know what's going on. There's 5,000 planes in the air. You're liable to get a mid-air collision if you don't find out what's going on and react to it. But I guess battlefield command was taken out of the hands of the military and put in the hands of none other than Dick Cheney and Rumsfeld.
Yep.
Now, you were, I know I covered you with an email about this, about Mineta and his testimony before the 911 Commission, where he says, during that time, the airplane was coming into the Pentagon. There was a young man who would come in and say to the vice president, the plane is 50 miles out. Plane is 30 miles out. And when it got to the plane is 10 miles out, the young man also said to the vice president, do the orders still stand? And the vice president turned and whipped his neck around and said, of course the orders still stand. Have you heard anything to the contrary? And my question is, what were the orders, and why in the world would Cheney, a civilian, be giving them? Wouldn't that be a battlefield command position that would be manned by a one-star career military person that trained specifically for that particular scenario?
Well, not in this case, obviously, and all of these things put together is why I have said previously that I don't know what happened and who did it, but my number one suspect would be Dick Cheney.
Well, looking at that testimony right there, it just looks like, now what in the world could that order have been? Why wasn't that, why wasn't, why didn't the 911 Commission ask What was the order? Why wasn't Cheney under oath in front of the 911 commission answering questions like that? What do you mean is the plane's 50 miles out? 50 miles out at 500 miles an hour is about 6 minutes. You know, I don't know what the order could have been. 30 miles out is about 3 minutes. And 10 miles out is like no time at all. There's nothing you could do as far as scrambling planes, because from scramble order to takeoff is about 6 minutes, best case scenario. So at 10 miles, there's no way a change of orders could do anything unless, of course, the order was to let the whatever it was approaching the Pentagon keep on going toward the Pentagon. So I'd say that the most likely thing that order could be would be to continue with the attack. That's what I think it is. That's what it seems like to me. But, you know, I don't know, because we're not allowed to do this.
I'd sure like to have Cheney under oath and ask him about that.
It'd be nice. And that's all the Veterans for 911 Truth want, is to be allowed to do discovery and look at documents, because we're suspicious. If these folks in the government don't have anything to hide, then why would they be against it? And they've seemed to be, you know, against it right from the start. They tried to delay as long as possible. Well, they did everything that the perpetrator of a crime would do, didn't they?
So, that's right.
So it's highly suspicious. Anybody that looks at all this evidence, any reasonable individual that looks at the evidence, would at least be suspicious and want answers to many, many, many questions that arise when you see buildings falling at free fall and pyroclastic clouds shooting out at 200 foot per second, and Building 7, you know, dropping at the rate of free fall as if it were in a vacuum. These things don't make sense. They just don't. So that's what we want. The Veterans for 911 Truth is just, you know, some explanations, which we're not only not getting, we're getting obfuscations and cover-ups and everything. So I'm absolutely certain that they didn't just let it happen, they made it happen. Or a combination of both. Still, I don't even believe that I don't believe in the Arab hijackers, because I don't see any evidence. No evidence whatsoever. Now what do we do? You're going to run for Congress. We've got Veterans for 911 Truth, or, you know, broadcasting a message that there's something wrong here, and we better do something about it, because something else could go wrong even worse. Because they may, to avoid prosecution, they're painted into a corner now, and they may have to do another 911 to retain power. That's one of the things that really concerns me.
Yeah, it concerns me too, and my great optimism is that this time there'll be people in the loop that will be alerted to the possibility, and therefore they just won't be able to get away with it again. They won't be able to pull it off.
Well, I certainly hope so. I certainly hope that folks like you and folks like you, Bob, can, you know, make this an issue. That'd be nice if it was an issue that the media couldn't ignore. And they've been doing a heck of a good job of ignoring it up to this time, with almost no mention of it until very recently.
Well, you know, this whole thing of 9/11 is tied intimately to Bush's quagmire, otherwise known as the Iraq War. And I'd like people to go to our website and take a look at all this stuff. That's Bowman2006.com. Bowman2006.com. And because we need to get the truth out to the American people.
We certainly do. I think armed with the truth, and not some kind of obfuscated propaganda, the people would react properly, because I think the American people are good people.
Absolutely.
It's just that they're terribly misinformed, essentially mind-controlled, because, you know, you're going to make your decisions based upon what you know, and if they're not telling you the things that you need to know, then how are you supposed to, you know, react to anything? It's you just can't. So that's the situation we're in. And I guess it begs the question, what in the heck are we going to do about it? And that's the hard part. Because I can't think of what to do. I think that what we're doing is...
I know what I'm doing about it, and I'm running for Congress.
Yep, that's it. That's good. So you're in the 15th Congressional District?
That's right. Florida's 15th Congressional District. I'm running against Republican incumbent Dave Weldon, who has been pretty much a rubber stamp for the Bush-Cheney, Karl Rove, Rumsfeld administration, and lapdog for the fat cats.
Mm-hmm. That's terrible. You familiar with Smedley Butler, General Smedley Butler?
Oh, sure.
Butler?
Yeah. Yes.
You remind me of General
Marine
Smedley
General.
Butler.
Yeah, he eventually figured out that war was a racket.
That's a quote, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, he's just a high-paid thug for, what was it, American Fruit or United Fruit
United
Company?
United Fruit Company.
Yeah,
how many times did our military intervene in Central America on behalf of the United Fruit Company? And now, of course, we're doing it on behalf of Folgers and Chiquita Banana and Exxon and Halliburton.
Yeah. Oh, these oil moguls, they're something. Yeah, they've got a cartel going on. There's no doubt in my mind. There's no way that your net profits go up just because the cost of raw materials goes up across the board. Yeah, they need to give that money back. That's not right. I've been studying that. And then they go before Congress, and they don't have to go under oath. And they don't want to go under oath because they're planning to lie. Terrible situation. Yeah, the Iraq War, Halliburton and Exxon are probably, that would have been a good stock to buy if you had no conscience. Yeah. So that's another thing we can do as citizens is stop funding the war machine. Don't give them any money. And I bet you there's a lot of people protesting the streets about the war who have stock portfolios and mutual funds and retirement accounts that are funding the same people they're protesting against. So that would be a good idea, obviously, not to fund the war machine. And then what do you do after that? I don't know. I guess we're doing as good as we can do at this point.
That's right.
And I guess we just keep putting one foot in front of the other and telling the truth and telling it over and over again until it outshouts the big lie and becomes the truth. It'd be nice if the truth was the truth.
And if you want to cut off funds for the war, you have to do it through Congress. They hold the purse strings. That's what we're going to do.
Well, somebody else
cut
holds
off their purse strings.
Somebody else holds the puppet strings. Yeah. So, and their reaction to the situation is just incredible. I mean, they're obviously not thinking clearly, or they're bought and paid for. It's appalling. It's ridiculous, and you know, we need to have a wholesale change. We need to fire all these people. I think that, judging by the attitude and outlook of many American people now, I think they are beginning to see that there's something really stinks in Congress. You know, the way they're just going along with the Patriot Act and the war and the war that they lied us into, and just the lies going. So I hope to see in 2006 a wholesale change of Congress. So that, because we need checks and balances here. This is ridiculous what's going on. They've got the Supreme Court packed. They've got Congress controlled, and the executive branch is out of control. And the Founding Fathers tried to stop that scenario from taking place, and evidently we got some systemic problems involved in United States Code, the Emergency Powers Act, and so forth, that makes, you know, the executive think that they have dictatorial power all of a sudden.
All right. Well, I've enjoyed chatting with you, and we'll just press on and take back America.
That's what we've got to do. That's the chore that confronts us. And we appreciate you talking with us, Bob. And we'll make it happen again, okay?
You bet.
All right. Have a great day. Enjoy it.
Bye-bye.
Bye.